She's the pro-choice, liberal, feminazi slut Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Well, hello. It is the day after the 2016 general election. And like many, I'm shocked and I'm in disbelief. And, you know, I have so many thoughts swirling in my head. It's very difficult for me to put everything, to write everything, especially whether it's a blog or whether it's just a Facebook status, because everything that I think, I can hear somebody out there arguing. I see a lot of people pointing fingers and getting angry with each other, and everybody's got a lot of blame. And while I certainly have my fair share of belief of what happened, I'm still kind of organizing my thoughts. I'll go into it a little bit here, but I think what I'm going to do is just dedicate an entire show where it's just going to be me, and I'm going to talk a little bit more at length about this as opposed to trying to write something, because when I write something, I can't include inflection and I can't include a caveat, or, you know, it's just too much, too many details, too many parentheses. I, as everybody knows who follows me, I was a Bernie supporter, and then I, you know, immediately switched over to Hillary when it was announced that she was the candidate. And the reason that I did that was because I understand how politics works. I understood that Hillary had to win. During the primaries, and, you know, I kept quiet about some of my thoughts during the general election, because it was extremely important to me that Hillary Clinton get elected. Clearly she has not. So now I can just kind of let loose. And although I'm going to still be somewhat reserved, I'm going to let a little bit loose here and say that while she was certainly not my first choice, I did not see her as the worst possible flawed candidate. I recognize that she was part of the establishment. I did not like that she didn't talk about fracking. I did not like that she wasn't talking about the pipeline. I have always been very vocal about my I don't want to say anger, but I have been angry with the Democratic Party, because since 2010, they've been failing their own. The get out the vote efforts in the midterms have failed miserably. There are so many problems within our own party. We have bought into the corruption, and this is where we are. This is where we are now. I mean, this is where it's gotten us. And I hope that the people in the Democratic Party wake up and realize that they have failed everybody, this entire country and the world, by not being more organized, by not pushing Democrats to support the Affordable Care Act in the midterms and to support Obama. You know, I know my mind is just kind of going to be everywhere, because I haven't had that much time to organize my thoughts. So pardon me if that happens. I'm just kind of going off on the cuff here. But all that said, I think Hillary Clinton would have been a good president. I think she would have been imperfect. I think that she, you know, needed to be pushed. I think she could have been pushed. Now it's too late. And I also think that sexism had more to do with it than anything else. I think this country, the white men in this country who were so angry about Obama, white men and women, who were so angry about a black man, just couldn't deal with a woman, especially one that's been plagued with right-wing conspiracies for decades. And, you know, I mean, I have battled with my feelings for Hillary. Eventually, I came around to feeling like a camaraderie with her, a sense of unity with her. I understood when I watched Frontline, the general election PBS documentary on the two different candidates, watching what she endured as a woman coming up in this world, being blamed for Bill Clinton's loss as governor in Arkansas because she refused to take his name initially, because she had to change her hair and change her glasses, and she had to conform to what society wanted her to be. And even when she did that, she got shit from everybody. I recognized some of myself in her, just as so many women in this country did. You know, we've all been there. We've all experienced sexism. We've all experienced misogyny. And then the horror that this man who, you know, some of these people who supported Jill Stein argued that Donald Trump, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, he just made some sexist comments. It's so much deeper than, you know, the idea that saying grabbing her pussy, it's not something that's, it isn't locker room talk. It's sexual assault. This is a big fucking deal. And I'm so like angry at everything, you know, I mean, and what I think the worst thing that I can do right now is to point my fingers and say, it's all the people who voted for Jill Stein's fault. It's all the Democratic Party's fault. It's all, it's, I mean, you know, what's that going to solve? We're all going to analyze and we're all going to deconstruct what happened in the next few months. And I will be one of those people. But my initial thoughts right now are that, you know, while we need to figure out where our mistakes were so that we can fix them, we're never going to get anywhere if all we do is, you know, behave in a condescending way to each other, which is what I saw in the primaries. You know, I supported Bernie Sanders, and God damn it, there were so many Hillary people who were so fucking condescending to me. And right back on the other side of that, the Bernie Sanders people were so condescending to people who supported Hillary. And, you know, everybody was so right. And instead of recognizing that we, you know, had an opportunity to change things for the better and to keep the momentum going, we've burned it to the ground. So now this is where we're left. And where do we go from here? I don't know. I have some ideas and they're percolating. One of the things that that we're going to get to in a second is, you know, I'm talking to Camila Lopez, who, excuse me, made the film. It's a documentary film called Equal Means Equal. I highly encourage everyone to watch this film. It's on iTunes. And as Camila explains later when we talk, You can have a house party and invite 10 to 15 people, watch this film together. I've seen it and it's very well done. And the focus of the film is why we need a ratified Equal Rights Amendment. And it goes beyond just pay equality. It's pregnancy discrimination. It's violence against women. It's all the things having to do with sexual assault. So she breaks it down. She makes it very easy to understand. So you watch this film with a group of people, you have your conversations about it, and then there's a kit that you can download, and there's 10 things that you can do to take action. So please, I highly encourage that you do this. It's Equal Means Equal on iTunes. She also has a Facebook page, Equal Means Equal, where you can stay up to date on you know, all the different things with women's rights and everything like that. But she and I talk about some of the possibilities of what's going to come of a Trump presidency. And, you know, while everybody is feeling down and devastated and stunned and bitter and all of this and hopeless, I do believe that there is a kernel of hope here. And the only way we're going to be able to get through this is to get through it together, not pointing fingers at each other and not screaming at each other and not treating each other in such a condescending way that I've seen in the last year. I know that I sound Pollyanna, but I'm hoping that after we all kind of calm down, that we recognize this, because, you know, the shit's hitting the fan. And the last thing that we need is to freak out and run around like chickens with our heads cut off to accomplish nothing. So that's what, you know, I had this show planned a couple of weeks in advance. I thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be president, like everybody else did. And, you know, even people on the right thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. So the show has a completely different tone than I originally expected. You know, so we're going to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment. We're going to talk about women's issues in this country, and we're going to talk about what we can do, you know, because it's not over. We're still here. We're still alive. We can't just give up. We have to do something. So, before I introduce Camila, I want to address this one little thing. I've noticed a couple of people on my Facebook page have, you know, last night I said I had to just kind of go off Facebook for a while, and I haven't yet been able to form my thoughts, you know, in a writing form or anything like that. But a couple of people have commented that, you know, we need you, we're here for you, we support you. So I'm going to be really blatant here and say, all right, I need your support. Not only do I need your support in that I need you to help spread the word about the Equal Rights Amendment, I need you to organize with your friends and family. I need you to be strong and to be positive and to take the high road. And then I'm specifically asking you to support this show because, you know, I need to pay my bills just like you do. And it's not easy to be a blogger out in this. This is my job. I'm a blogger and I have a podcast. These are, you know, and I'm an author. So you can support me by purchasing my books on Amazon. You can go to KimberlyAJohnson.com, and that's KimberlyAJohnson.com. You can find all of my books there. And if you like my books, you can give them good reviews on Amazon. And then you can also support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And if you pledge $1 a month, you'll get my undying gratitude, as I always say, forever and always. And this is basically the free show. And then if you pledge $5 a month, you'll get access to the bonus show, which is And Another Thing, where my guest and I will answer questions from people on Facebook, or if it's just the show that I'm doing alone, it'll be a special segment just for listeners. And if you pledge $10 a month, you'll get access to the free bonus third show, which I may have a special guest or I may just rant on my own about something. I don't know if you're familiar with Bob Seska, but he was my my guest on the last bonus show, which I made free. I know he will be joining me on a couple of more bonus shows because we have some all kinds of funny things to talk about, and we'll probably, as we continue on, get even more crude and weird. So I want, you know, I hope that you'll be entertained by it, but it'll be slightly different than the normal show. So that said, I'm going to introduce now the guest, Camila Lopez, who made the film Equal Means Equal. She has worked as an actor in over 30 feature films, including I Heart Huckabees, Born in East L.A., Deep Cover, The Burning Season, and over 70 television shows, including Beverly Hills 90210, Star Trek Voyager, NYPD Blue, and It's Gary Sandling Show. So she is an activist for women. She is going to tell you about why she made the film, documentary film, Equal Means Equal. So without any further ado, we're going to go and we're going to get Camila on. Welcome, Camila. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly. It's a historic day. I'm glad to be talking to you. I think we all need to talk to somebody today.
Yeah, this has been so difficult. And, you know, I just want to start this with, in 2012, I was actually the spokesperson for Rock the Slut Vote. And as a result, I had the opportunity to speak at the Capitol building for the We Are Woman rally. And that's where you approached me and you asked me if I believed women were equal. And I honestly don't remember what I said, but I basically said that I thought we were, and you corrected me. And you opened my eyes. You told me that the Equal Rights Amendment had never been ratified. And then you told me that most people don't realize this. And both of those pieces of information shocked me. And immediately, I went back to my home in California, and I thought, I'm going to make this a priority in my life. I'm going to try to educate people, and I'm going to do what I can to get the ERA ratified with, you know, whatever platform I have available. So first of all, I just want to thank you for introducing that to me.
And well, you're an incredible person, Kimberly, because I've been marching up and down telling people that for every single day for 8 years, but you're the only one that has taken it the way you have, and that's such a that's just very telling about who you are, and I really appreciate it, because as we can tell, the lack of equality for women and the pervasive culture of second-class citizenship that we have come to accept has major ramifications, and I think the time really cannot be overstated as now to finally get ourselves equal rights under federal law.
Exactly. And so, you know, here's a, usually when I do these shows, I have all this, I have these lists of prepared questions. And today I was sitting in front of my computer trying to come up with questions, and I'm just in this funk. And so what I'm going to do is just kind of wing it. I did watch your film, Equal Means Equal. I want you first, I'm going to ask you some specific questions about that. But first, just A, tell me what inspired you to make it and give me just the quick little overall gist.
Well, Equal Means Equal came to pass because I discovered, just in the same way that you said when I came up to you and opened your eyes, it horrified you. I had that same experience in 2009 when a woman playing Alice Paul walked up to me at the Smithsonian Institution, and she said, "My name is Alice Paul, and I'm back to haunt you because you've done nothing to pass the Equal Rights Amendment." And there was something just so weird about it and so anachronistic about being in this modern building and looking at a woman that was dressed like from 200 years ago and thinking, "Oh my God, is it possible that nothing has changed for women in over 200 years and we still don't have the same rights as men?" And there was something about that moment that I just couldn't get past it. I thought, how come I don't know this? Like, what's going on? Is it possible? I went home, I started to look into it, and I found out not only is it true, but 96% of Americans think that men and women have equal rights. To me, that is a massive civil and human rights violation when the population believes something to be true that's actually false. And that's what allows a lot of the things that we see go on to persist, because we don't have the information. And it just drove me crazy. So I said, I've got to do something about it. And when you met me, I was making PSAs and going to high schools. I started a curriculum, a social justice program called ERA University. I was doing all these things, but it wasn't getting out there enough. And I was told that I needed to make a documentary. That was the only way to get this information out at the scale we need it to go out. And so I've spent the past 8 years of my life making this film, interviewing hundreds and hundreds of people, looking at tens and dozens of laws, and coming to the conclusion that without the Equal Rights Amendment, all of these different areas like pay discrimination, pregnancy discrimination, rates of rape and sexual assault, domestic violence, international women's rights, which we're going to discuss, et cetera, all of these issues are damaged, hamstrung, and in some cases do not work at all because we do not have basic civil and human rights for women protected in our foundational legal document, which is the Constitution.
Yeah, and I mean, there's, you know, I was getting an education myself when I started posting and writing about it, because of course you get all the naysayers who say, "Oh, well, we have the 14th Amendment, and we have the..." So I've honed a lot of my argument. Especially, there's the book with the same name, "Equal Means Equal," written by Jessica Neuwirth, which is basically a bunch of court cases that show that what we have in our Constitution isn't enough. And one of the really specific things that we said, we always think in terms of equal rights in terms of pay, and that's what I'm going to focus on right now, but it's not just pay. It's like you said, it's pregnancy discrimination, it's violence against women, it's rape, it's all of that, how we handle rape in the courts.
We're seeing, and we can look at today and we can look at the past presidential campaign to really be a perfect example of a society that still does not really think that much mm-hmm. of women. And what we need to understand is that it's not just the culture, it is also the laws. And yes. So culture and law are tied very closely together. One influences the other. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have our basic laws in hand, we will continue to see this type of behavior where you can call sexual assault locker room talk, right, where you can use Orwellian terms to degrade and disrespect women and have nobody bat an eye.
So one of the things that Jessica Neuwirth wrote in her book was that in the Equal Pay Act, there, you know, that's another argument that I get. Oh, well, we have the Equal Pay Act. I see chicks on the right talking about that. Like, oh, it's all fine and good. But what Jessica Neuwirth pointed out was that there is a loophole in that an employer can base a salary on past earnings. So therefore, if somebody were a victim of discrimination, gender discrimination, their whole lives, an employer can say, well, you know, you made X amount before, so we're basing it on that. And then they don't have to admit to gender discrimination, and that cycle can continue. The Equal Rights Amendment would close that loophole.
This is a fact. There will never be equal pay without an ERA. That's just the fact of the matter. And you can parse it out however you want to. People can argue it and say that there is no wage gap in this demographic, that it's about women's choices of what kind of careers they take or how long they want to stay home or any of these things. But the basic fact of the matter is that in 99.6% of all major occupation categories, women earn less than men for doing the same work. You cannot get around that. That is a violation of fairness in its essence, and it will not be corrected. Unfortunately, people don't seem to want to correct it for themselves. We have to have laws, and the Equal Rights Amendment is the only law that provides civil and human rights protections to women in an explicit and blanket manner. Everything else can be loopholed to death, can be twisted around, like we saw with the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, where basically what they did was they gutted the act, they took all the teeth out of it, and they reinstated it now without an attendant paycheck fairness act. So basically, it looks great, but it means nothing. And that is where we are and where we will continue to be until we confront the fact that in 1787, women were chattel. We were the legal model for slaves. Wives were the legal model for slaves. And until you address that head on and change the Constitution to include us, you will be continually chasing reasons why and not addressing the foundation of the matter.
And the thing that scares me is there's, you know, this whole generation of women who are not really recognizing the fact that we are up against all of this. They seem to be under the impression that everything has been settled. I don't know if a Donald Trump administration is going to open their eyes to that or not.
Well, I think that we have to be really cautious about blaming ourselves for our ignorance when we have been deliberately gaslit for over three decades, where people have been telling us and propagandizing us, whether it's marketing, whether it's the media, whether it's the culture, whether it's this sort of sexual liberation filter that we're looking through, whatever the case may be, girls have been lied to. Mm-hmm. And so for them to whole cloth imagine, and I mean, and look, it took me 8 years and I was a bloodhound. Imagine if I'm just going about my day, a young woman going about my day, and I'm told by the general public that I can be, do, and have whatever I want. Why would I think that there was something that needed to be settled? As Gloria Steinem said, this movement is where it is precisely because they have said it is over. And mm-hmm. That is a tactic. And that we have bought into it is the problem. This is right. Where awareness and education, which I hope people will do by watching the film Equal Means Equal at their homes, inviting 10, 15 people over, renting the movie on iTunes for $3, sitting there discussing after the movie, what you can do about it, and downloading our free house party action kit, which has over 10 actual things that you can do right now that are pragmatic, tangible things you can do to join the fight to finally provide women with equal rights under the law. And that I think is the most effective grassroots thing that I can think to do, because we don't have the capital to fight the propaganda. to fight the people that are telling young women that twerking their way to nirvana is going to get them the financial security that they need, that utilizing their body and commodifying their body is their greatest value. We have to break through to them, and I think one of the ways to do it is to watch Equal Means Equal in a group, almost like a social consciousness raising experience, where afterwards you discuss, you know, and you will find invariably that multiple issues will arise where women have been beaten or raped or discriminated against in a vile manner. And it will be an environment in which to finally bring these things out from out of the closet and start to talk about them so that we can start to deal with them.
Yeah, I mean, I watched your film, and what I really liked about it was how you took each issue that the ERA could really help or fix, and you had your little bubbles with your cool artwork, and you kind of made it like Equality for Dummies, and you just took each little thing, each or not little thing, but I mean, you know, whether it was equal pay, pregnancy discrimination, you broke it down. And you showed everybody what was wrong. And then, you know, it's like you said, the blanket fix is the Equal Rights Amendment. And I would just like to point out that while it's true, women will benefit from a ratified Equal Rights Amendment more than anyone, it's a gender thing. It's against gender discrimination. And now that there are so many different, you know, kinds of, you know, labels of gender, which I'm sorry if I get it wrong, if I offend anybody, I just like Patton Oswalt, I can't keep up with all of it, but I'm on everybody's side. I'm just about equal rights for everybody. And this amendment is something that we need, which brings me to CEDAW, which is the International Women's Treaty. And that's, I don't know what the CEDAW stands for. I guess you do.
It's the Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women.
Okay.
And it's an international treaty that's been ratified by 187 out of 194 countries. And the countries that have not ratified it are Sudan, Tonga, Palau, Iran, and of course, the big bad United States of America. The only supposed first world country to literally refuse to sign the convention to eliminate all forms of discrimination against women, and thereby complicitly agreeing to the type of vicious, disgusting treatment that women all over the world receive, whether it's female genital mutilation or stoning to death, being drowned in cages, or, you know, murdered in soccer fields. The United States is complicit in those acts because it refuses to take a stand on CEDAW. Okay. Well, but what I have heard, I mean, we can take it to this. Oh, what we have been hearing, both you and I, is that somehow our failure to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment has some bearing on whether or not we sign CEDAW. What I was told is the U.S. government won't sign CEDAW because it would automatically grandfather in the Equal Rights Amendment because international law supersedes national law if you enter into this treaty, which would mean we would be compelled to bring all our labor laws up to international standards and pay women equal to men. And I think that is why we are not signing CEDAW, frankly.
Ugh. Well, okay, so where do we go in a Trump administration, aside from having equal means equal house parties? What is your advice to people? I mean, how can we do this? We need to spread education, so we need to watch this film, and I highly recommend it. I like I said, I saw it. It's got a lot of really good pieces of information that you can use. But what else can we do? How can we get people to understand how important this is? And how do you think in a Trump administration we can make this happen? I mean, maybe not while he's president, but maybe what we can do is get a momentum going.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I personally don't feel like I know where this president will go. I don't know if what we've been seeing is actually who this person is, and how they will behave. I feel like I'm gonna see what he's going to do, and the I'm more concerned about Mike Pence, frankly, and what the kind of influence that he'll have on Trump than I am on Trump himself, because I feel like in a way we might be able to reason with him through his daughter, who I think would be extremely open to being educated on the need for the Equal Rights Amendment. And I think that that's a tactic that we should immediately deploy, is start to educate his daughter and wife on the Equal Rights Amendment. But also, I think that one thing that we need to start doing, which is why I'm suggesting these house parties, is because after that night is over, we need to have this network continue, broaden, and get connected to one another so that we can take large-scale actions together. And, you know, there are several ideas I have about very large-scale actions, but the first piece of the puzzle, as you said, Kimberly, is to educate, because people don't know what the problem is exactly. They know that three women a day die at the hands of their intimate partners, or they might know that we have a growing group of homeless women and children and that 70% of our poor are women, but they don't necessarily know how all of these things connect to each other, and they see them as individual issues that have their own individual reasons for occurring and ways to solve. So the first thing we need to explain is that if all people are not created equally under the law, that will have a ripple effect moving out from the society in a sort of overall fashion. And that's what we're looking at when we see discrimination against women and the culture of discrimination. What we're seeing is the ripple effect of being explicitly excluded. And today, the society has leapfrogged over that perception without going to fix what was standing there. Mm-hmm. So I really do think that that could be the one piece of the puzzle that starts to let these things shake out. It gives all of our wonderful attorneys, like the women in my film, like Jessica Reich and Noreen Farrell from Equal Rights Advocates that represent Betty Dukes, and all of these incredible cases like Gloria Allred, all of these women that want to fight on our behalf need to have our civil rights explicitly in the Constitution in order to point to it. Because the reason that VAWA was defanged in the Christy Brancala case was because VAWA cannot give women human rights if the government itself has not given it to them. We can't make up rights that don't exist. So I think everything points to the fact that to get to the bottom of the matter and to start to see the society change, we have to start with the foundation. You cannot build a building on a foundation of quicksand. And we've got women building these incredible cathedrals, and the ground is not under them. Mm-hmm. And they need to realize that.
And just for anyone who doesn't know, VAWA is the Violence Against Women Act,
which attempted, in the same way that people use the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment or Title IX or Title VII, what people have been trying to do is shoehorn women's civil and human rights into another type of law that wasn't explicitly made for that, because there's nowhere to turn. And my point is, and Jessica Neuwirth's point is in the book and in the ERA coalition, is why are we trying to jerry-rig half of the population into laws that were not made for them? Why aren't we able to simply say that we are equal and that we should have equal laws? Why is that something that we have to try and get over on? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not acceptable. Yeah. So American women need to, A, become educated, B, become brave, and say, you know what, I pay my taxes, I'm a part of this society, I give to this society, I need to be treated equally, or I am going to stop giving to this society. I will stop paying my taxes. I will stop producing children for you, for your taxes and your wars and your prisons. I will stop until I get the institutional respect that I deserve and that every woman in a first world country enjoys, except us.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you say about seeing what a Trump presidency will bring, you, like the wait and see attitude. In fact, I spoke to a friend this morning who happens to believe that, you know, Trump conned the Republican Party, and that, you know, he just said what he wanted to say to get the votes, and now he'll do what he wants. And, you know, we're all just going to have to wait and see. I guess there's a doom part of me, and then there's a hopeful side of me. And the hopeful side of me is that I always recognize that when we're uncomfortable, that's usually when we're moved to action. So obviously this next 4 years, it's going to be uncomfortable in many ways, no matter what, no matter what he does. There's going to be all kinds of discomfort. There's going to be pain involved. And for that, I'm truly frightened. But I'm hoping that out of that comes some kind of unification, because I started blogging in 2012, and the social media feminism that I have found online, you know, the camaraderie, the unity that I see among women has grown. And I'm hoping that this will be the launching pad for us to do exactly what you're talking about. I have been, I have the opportunity to post all kinds of information on bigger Facebook pages that are continually growing, and that includes feminist pages. And so I can say for sure that, you know, there's a little bit more awareness about the ERA now, just out in the public sphere, than there was. But we have to work even harder to get that out there. And you know, I'm going to be calling on you more now for your help and for different things that we can do together, as far as working on that. But one of the things I want to kind of switch gears right now, and I want to ask about this election. Why do you think Hillary Clinton lost?
I think that there's a lot of sexism. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people were not ready to see her, a woman in a power position. I don't know. I'm not sure if it had been Elizabeth Warren, if we wouldn't have won. I don't know. I'm not I'm not a prognosticator, and I invariably seem to vote for the people that don't win.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we can all backseat drive this election forever. I'm with you on that. I do think that sexism has a lot to do with it, and I think that's the primary reason. I think that, you know, I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but I was supporting Bernie in the primaries, and I was upset with, and I have been upset for years, since 2010, with the Democratic National Party and how they've handled the get out the vote effort for midterm elections. And I think that this past general election, I was not happy with the way they behaved. But once it was determined that Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee, I got behind her. And I educated myself on her accomplishments. And I don't regret for 1 second getting behind her. I also recognize that while she is, Nicole Wallace last night on MSNBC said something interesting. She said that, you know, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are kind of in the, like, opposites of the same side. And then Hillary Clinton and Paul Ryan are opposites of the same side. And I think she has a point, because, you know, both Paul Ryan and Hillary Clinton are more of the establishment. And then, you know, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are maybe anti-establishment. It's very hard for me to say, oh yeah, Bernie would have won, because I honestly don't know.
I think he would have. I think he would have, because the sentiment that people that voted for Trump had is the same sentiment that made many of us very supportive of Bernie. It's a frustration with the status quo. It's a feeling like the government is out of touch with us, and that there's levels of inaccessibility, bureaucracy, and potentially corruption, and we can't get anywhere. And so I agree with you. It would have been a much more appropriate to have Donald Trump run against Bernie Sanders, because what we really got was a referendum on Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. and how things, because Hillary Clinton is perceived as the poster girl for the way things work in Washington. And people, unfortunately, and Washington has done it to themselves, don't have much faith in the way things are going in Washington, D.C. So they're sending in supposedly an outlier. And there's a certain anarchic adrenaline rush that I get from that, being an old punk rocker. You know, there's something about it, you know, that I'm like, okay, you know, we're going to see some it go down, you know, let's see what happens. Because I'll tell you something, if he starts getting crazy with deporting Latinos or wall building or whatnot, then we're going to see some real action happen.
Yeah.
And I, for one, you know, unfortunately, am curious about that. You know, I am curious about that. I'm not somebody that's played by the rules my whole life. I'm not someone that fit into many groups or was part of these kind of establishment teams. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's funny. I didn't know that you were a punk rocker, and I can't officially say I was one. I was a little bit of a wannabe punk rocker, but I hung around with the punk rock crowd, so I can relate there.
I think we need to get more punk rock girls. I think, you know, Riot Girl needs to come back, Riot Girl 2.0, and we need Seneca Falls 2.0. Yes. We need a constitutional convention 2.0. And we're going to have to start to get a little more in everybody's face if we want to see this change. And I, for one, am really excited about the opportunity to get these young women out of the shopping days and the twerking miasma and this sort of house music feeling, and just get into some real, get out on the street, meet your fellow citizens, and take some action in your democracy.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that I'm going to take away. I mean, I'm going to take your words, I'm going to take your spirit, and I woke up this morning, just, I can't even describe the state that I was in. I'm feeling slightly better. I think that we need to take this opportunity for even more unity and for more education and for women to come together, because we have a real reason. You know, perhaps if Hillary Clinton would have won, there might have been more of the status quo and less curiosity.
Less chance for radical change, yeah. Which is what we need. We cannot do incremental change for women has been the carrot they've dangled over our heads for 40 years, and we have to say no. We don't want more meetings, more commissions, more discussions. We want radical, systemic change, and it starts with, God forbid, including us in this country's constitution.
Amen. Or a woman. Okay, so this is gonna be it for the main part of the show, but stick around, Kamala, so we can take some questions from some of the Facebook followers who I think are quite silent today, so there's not too many. But for everybody else, thank you for listening, and we'll continue on with Kamala for the after show.